Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, your Son is the one that you sent to die for all who would trust in him. I praise you for the privilege we have of coming before you and singing worshipful songs of praise to you. Lord, as we remember your Son now, I pray that you would help us to do that well. I pray that you would enable our thoughts to be led by Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would keep us. I pray that this time would be pleasing to you. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to our time around the Lord's table today, we're going to be looking at a passage from Matthew chapter 27. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn to Matthew 27? And as you're doing that, would you be thinking about what it was that Jesus proved while he was on the cross? At this point in the crucifixion story, Jesus had been unjustly tried and crucified, convicted. He'd been crucified on a cross in a very public place, and he was hanging there on that cross for everybody to see. Roman soldiers were sitting ignorantly around him at the foot of the cross. They had no idea who it was that they had just crucified. There were disappointed Jews who were passing by, Jews who had hailed him just a few days earlier at the triumphal entry. As they looked at him hanging on the cross, they were mocking him and hurling insults at him. And there were two criminals who were crucified with him, and they were doing the same thing. They were mocking him, and they were hurling insults at him. The passage we're going to be looking at today focuses on another group of people. This is the religious leaders of their day. These are the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And these were the men who hated Jesus the most. So follow along with me as we read verses 41 and 42 together. As I read these verses, would you just notice the claim that these men make against Jesus? Starting in verse 41, "In the same way the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, and they were saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is king of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him.'" Their claim against Jesus in verse 42 is that he cannot save himself. And this was almost spoken as a rhetorical question. To a battered, weak, and bloody man hanging on a cross, having just been crucified by the most powerful military machine of their day. It was as if they were saying, "You can't really be God, can you? Because you're still on that cross, you're proving yourself to be no different from any other man who's been crucified by the Romans." But this was a claim that was made by men who had no ability to see beyond outward appearances. All that they could see was a weak man hanging on a cross. What they had no ability to see was that by remaining on the cross, Jesus was demonstrating a capacity that was unique to the one who was God. He was doing something that mere men could never do. And that is that as the Creator, as one who is separate in nature from all that he's created, Jesus himself was absorbing in his own body all of the Father's anger in just a few hours against all of those who had placed their trust in him. For all of those who would not place their trust in him, it would take them an eternity to accomplish what Jesus was accomplishing in just a few hours. So the lost world sees nothing significant about the death of Jesus at the cross. But the Bible describes the crucifixion as the incarnate God satisfying his Father's wrath against repentant sinners who would submit to him as Lord of their lives. So if you're one who has an accurate biblical understanding of who Jesus is, and there is clear evidence in your life that you're walking a path of repentance, a path of ongoing sanctification, you're growing in your submission to who Jesus Christ is as your Lord and Savior. There's increasing obedience in your life. Would you join us and remember him this morning? The elements are going to come to you in a minute. When they do come to you, would you just take them and hold them and ponder the person of Jesus and the work that he accomplished on the cross that was unique to him, that only he could accomplish, something that you could never do on your own? When you've prepared your heart and you've remembered Christ, when you've thanked him for what he has done for you, take the elements when you're ready. If you're here today and you don't see anything significant about Jesus at the cross, maybe you acknowledge that he died on the cross, but you don't see anything significant in it. You don't see what he has done on the cross for all of those who would trust in him as their Savior and their Lord. You need to understand something, that your sin is still an infinite offense against a holy God. There's a holy God that's infinitely offended by your choice not to recognize Jesus as your master and your Savior. But this is an opportunity for you to understand who Jesus is, to see that he did something that you could never do, that you could never satisfy God's anger against you in your own self. If you would do that, if you would agree with Jesus for who he is, would you understand that he died in your place? Would you join us and take the elements with us? Otherwise, when the elements come to you, would you just pass them by? This is for a time for Christians to remember what God has done for them. So men, will you come forward and serve us? And when you're ready, take the elements on your own.